Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, this Collective Minds Radio. Welcome back. This is your host, Brother Kev, with my other host, Mufasa Ra and Rigel Starr, formerly known as Love Lachey. What's up, y'all?
Good evening.
Hello? I'm like, y'all.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.
Peace. Shalom. As-salamu alaykum. What else?
Right.
Peace to the gods and earth, everybody. And, yeah, on this show, family, we just doing an open broadcast. So basically, you know, you can call in and talk about whatever you want. We probably just hit on a few topics that happened throughout the week and pretty much, you know, whatever on your mind. You know, this is Collective Mind, so give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get started, do y'all have any announcements y'all need to make?
No, not any announcements.
Only announcement I make is basically a shout out to Brother Wesley Muhammad, who was in.
Whoa, you kind of break. I ain't heard nothing you said. I heard Wesley Muhammad, and that was it. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Barely, kind of going in and out.
Yes, sir. Okay, I ain't heard nothing that time. Can you hear him, Roger?
No, I don't hear. I know he was saying something about Wesley Muhammad. I think he's in town.
You're right. Yeah, Wesley Muhammad was in town, I think, Saturday. No, I don't know if you might have to switch locations, Mufasa. Because we can't hear you.
Yeah. But do you have any announcements, Brother Kevin?
Yeah, well, that announcement, and also next week, I believe, Ashwa Kwesi will be in the building. Well, he'll be in St. Louis speaking at Better Family Life on Saturday, March 31st. He's doing a lecture on breaking through the matrix. So it's Ashwa and Mariah Kwesi, him and his wife. And they're doing a lecture here in St. Louis. So, you know, if y'all want to check that out, family, it's $20 at the door donation. $25 at the door and $20 in advance. Again, they're doing a lecture on breaking through the matrix and the ancient Kushites' origin of the Nile Valley. You know, as well as some other topics. So make sure y'all support, check that out. I'm sure there'll be a lot of vendors on hand, you know, and a lot of things going on. It's going to be a Better Family Life next Saturday. So just want to.
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
We can hear you now, brother.
That's better now.
That just pissed me off. I'm telling you, I'm so tired of these phones. That just ruined my whole. My whole little peace mode right there.
Don't let it do that to you.
I'm so sick of these phones and these feds. They be scanning my line, I tell you. That shit get on my nerves.
Right. Don't let them get to you, brother. But go ahead with your announcement. We can hear you now. Go ahead with your announcement. You're talking about Brother Muhammad, Brother Wesley Muhammad.
Yeah, shout out to Brother Wesley for being in town this weekend. It's always a good bid when he come in town. So, yeah, just appreciative of him coming to town. Shout out to him and all the brothers in the NOI.
Okay, indeed. Yeah, peace to that brother. To the Dr. Wesley Muhammad. And he got that book that I've been wanting to get, Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, Black Manhood, and Black Masculinity. So that is on my wish list. You feel me? Just to put that out there. I heard it was an excellent book. So, yeah, that book is on my wish list from Dr. Wesley Muhammad. So, yeah, without further ado, yeah, like I say, this is an open show. We just, you know, discussing whatever we have on our mind, current events, you know, personal issues, whatever you want to do, give us a call. This is Collective Minds Radio once again. And this is Brother Kevin, the Foster Guy, and Rising Star. So, yeah, and when we got on the line, I was actually, I don't know if you heard about this, Mufasa, but I was sharing with Rigel Starr that a brother in Houston was shot, I believe, Thursday from the reports that I just seen.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was walking around the streets. They say he had his pants around his ankles, which I don't think that really had nothing to do with you getting shot, but they threw that in there. I guess that was the reason the police approached him. But apparently, you know, the police had him on the ground. It was a struggle. And the police ended up shooting the guy. He was unarmed. You know what I'm saying? His family say he had some mental issues due to his daughters being killed, I believe, in 2016, according to the reports. But, yeah, there's a video out there. They just police, it was actually a sheriff, a Houston sheriff deputy, that shot the brother.
Did you get a chance to see the video?
No, I didn't see the video, but, you know, I just read the report. You know, because my thing is now I'm at the point where, yeah, I'm at the point where I'm really not watching these videos. You know what I mean? Because I didn't see enough of them. I think the videos themselves are traumatic, and they show them videos just to trigger something in people. You know what I'm saying? So me personally, I ain't really got to watch the video because, I mean, I done seen enough of them, and they, like, they piss me off every time. So, in order not to even, this was
in Sacramento or in Houston? In Houston, okay.
This was in Houston. Now, I'm sure we was going to talk about the one in Sacramento, but this one was in Houston on Thursday. I guess they say the cell phone video just came out of this incident. So, yeah, I'm not watching the videos, but what's going on with the one in Sacramento? Did you see that video?
But, you know, I did want to ask you about this. The one in Houston, did that happen a little time ago and the footage is just coming out? Or is it new?
No.
It recently happened.
According to the reports, this happened last Thursday. So today is Sunday.
Okay.
This happened, yeah, 3-4 days ago. Yeah, this happened Thursday.
Okay.
You see. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, this is recent. This is new. This is recent. I'm sure Houston, you know, shout out to the fam in Houston. I'm sure they go, you know, get out there and do what they got to do and see what's going on. But, I mean, this is just real disturbing right here. Like,
what went on
the ground.
What went on in Sacramento?
Now, in Sacramento, from what I understand, yeah, the brother was yeah, it was a young black man. I think he was in at his grandmother's house. I think he was living, you know, him and his grandmother shared a house. He was in the backyard, and the police was looking for somebody or looking for him. And they say they hit him with like 20 shots. He had a cell phone. You know, this is their excuse, though. They say he had a cell phone. They thought it was a gun.
Yeah,
right.
I'm looking at it as we speak. Now, from what I'm seeing, let me see here. He was running. I'm looking at the video of it now. He was running from the police.
Okay.
So, with that being said, y'all know what I got to say. When we run from the police, if it's us that's doing it or if it's one of our loved ones, just go ahead and be prepared to die. I'm saying, if y'all see me running from the police, see me on TV and I'm fleeing from the police and they get me, trust me, I knew I was ready to die. Okay? We got to continue to preach to our loved ones that if you do not want to die, you got to do everything in your power to not do that. So when you run, you already know that they're looking for a reason to kill you anyway. So you're probably not going to get away. You know what I'm saying? 9 times out of 10, you ain't going to get away when you run. You know what I'm saying? So And if they get up on you, they gonna kill you. Your best bet is to be as submissive as possible, which I know is hard for some of us to do. A lot of us don't even want to hear that. But that's the reality of it. We have to be as submissive as we can and know that we are behind enemy lines.
Facts.
And try to survive that altercation with the police, because they're looking for anything to kill you. So you got to do your best to try, you know what I'm saying, not escalate the situation yourself. And then you fight the battle. You live to fight another day. So that's my take on it. In this video, this brother jumping fences and stuff. I mean, it's like, dang, man, what you thinking? What you think going to happen when they catch up with you? We already know where we at. We know how they look at us, how they feel about us. You think when they catch you, they're just going to say, ah, ha, ha, we got you. No. 9 times 10, they're going to kick you, they're going to beat you. You know what I'm saying? So if we got loved ones, they got mental issues and stuff like that, you need to watch out for your loved ones. You know what I'm saying? Because they may take off. You know, they might not be able to grasp what they need to do in that situation. So that's why we're supposed to look out for each other. You know, you got somebody dealing with stuff like that that might not be able to deal with it correctly. You got to look out for your people. So I'm like you, man. I'm tired of seeing it turn, hearing about it, because I already expect to know what's going to happen when we run from the police. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you, like I said, if y'all ever see me running, trust me, I was ready to die.
Yep, that is part of the code. I mean, you know, per Neely Fuller Jr. and his compensatory code book, you know, part of the code is if you do get approached by the police, it's just comply. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you got to understand, we behind enemy lines. They're looking for a reason to kill you. And not saying that if you comply, it's going to go well, but you have a better chance, you know, if you just comply. You know, but, you know, if you about that life and you, you know, you ready to defend yourself or ready to die, then by all means, you know, do what you got to do. But if you trying to survive, you got to understand the situation that black people are in. We can't do like, you know, the Caucasians in our society and fight the police and live and blow up people and kill people and still get apprehended alive. That's not going to happen with us. You know, we just got to understand that, you know. But, you know,
I want to share something with you. I want to share something with you when you get done. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, even with that said, like, you should comply. That still does not, you know, they still was wrong for killing the brother if he was unarmed. You know, even still, we know what it is, like, They shot the brother. He was unarmed. Apparently, they thought the cell phone was a... But they just shoot first. And 20 shots at that? Like, you going to shoot 20 shots?
Hey,
like,
you
can't
know,
shoot the... I mean, I know what it is, but I'm just, you know, I'm just asking rhetorical questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, you going to shoot the man 20 times?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we know what it is.
I'm going to ask y'all something, and this is for everybody, listeners involved. If you got a pig, right, do you get mad at a pig for eating shit?
Exactly.
You don't get mad at a pig for eating shit because that's what it do.
Right.
So you just know what a pig, you know a pig behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I expect that a pig gonna do what a pig gonna do. I'll leave that at that. Take it how you you know, whoever listening, take it how you want to take it. But hey, this is what I wanted to share with y'all. I'm leaving. I'm going to work. What was that? What's that? Today's Sunday? I was going to work. I think it was Wednesday. And on my way going to work, man, it's like 6:45 in the morning. I get to the highway, and I see a police officer. He got somebody pulled over, you know, a little bit down the road. Got his flashes on. So I'm watching that. Then all of a sudden I see the car pull off and bust a U-turn coming back towards me. Cop car pulled, you know, got his flash on. He bust a U-turn coming behind me. So I went ahead and that my light changed, I get on the highway. I'm getting on the on-ramp. I'm watching my rearview mirror because I'm trying to see what's unfolding behind me. So I look behind the rearview mirror, and I see the car come up behind, following me. I'm like, oh, man, they coming my way. Come up on me on the on-ramp. Police come behind me. He ain't stopping. So they get up on me. Now, like I said, I'm in the on-ramp. Now, I could have turned my car sideways and blocked the dude in. Because as he coming up on me, he's swerving, right? He's trying to figure out which way I'm finna go so he can try to get on around me.
Right.
So I said, man, for a split second, I thought about, oh, man, let me block this guy so he can't get back. And then I said, yeah, then that's exactly what I had. Well, I heard something in my head. Oh, no. Just like
no.
That.
Right.
Man, I pulled my car
no.
And let them fly on past me. Because I said, you know what? So as soon as my car would have got towed up, or this brother would have got the shooting, or anything, you think they was going to give a damn that I helped them try to stop somebody?
Not at all, bro.
They wasn't going to care. They told me I shouldn't have gotten involved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But saying all that is to say, I don't mess with somebody that's running from the police, putting my life in jeopardy, or the police. I don't trust them or the criminals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you running, I'm expecting you know what consequences come for you running. So be prepared. If you get into a shootout with them, hey, do what you do. I ain't mourning for you. That may sound harsh, but, hey, that's where I'm at with it now, y'all.
Yeah. I mean, shit. I definitely hear you, bro, for real. But, nah, you shouldn't have. No, I don't even. I would never did that, like, for real, because,
yeah,
like you say, that's not not your job, and they not going to care if something happened to your car.
You don't know the circumstances either.
Right, you don't know the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you knew, though, that's not even, you know.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess it was just the, I don't want to say father in me or whatnot, but just the good, the righteous side of me said, oh, he saw somebody doing a bad deed or what I thought was a bad deed. Let me help in the situation for a split second. But then I heard that, oh, hell no, in my head. But I almost got involved. Now let me ask y'all this. In that same situation, right? Say we was living in a separate land, right? If you knew the situation that brother who was running had just shot some kid and it was a black police officer chasing him. Would you help him? Would you have tried to block the road, or would you still let him go on by?
I can't say because I would have to be in that moment. To not be in that moment and answer that question right now, I would probably say no. I wouldn't get involved because I wouldn't want to jeopardize my life and my, you know, I have family, kids, and stuff like that. You know, I would really be truthful. I would have to be in that, you know, in that situation and that at that moment to know for real, because you never know, something could have come over me at that moment where I'm like, oh, it could have been a situation where it was easy and it seemed to be kind of safe to maybe block somebody or, you know, just, it's hard to say, but right now I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's kind of hard to say, really. And, you know, that's assuming that the police is righteous. You know what I'm saying? And we know,
right,
living in America with, you know, our history with the police and the black community, I don't think that it's a righteous organization, period. So I'm not about to help them under any circumstances, really. You know, I was just thinking about this before. Like, I don't think I've ever called the police. No, I think I've called the police one time when I was in college and somebody had broke into my car and took some stuff. Wait, did I call the police that time? No, you know what? I don't think I called that time. I can't remember a time that I've actually called the police.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I just haven't been in that situation where I've needed to call the police, thank God.
Right.
You know, that something was happening, but I've never called the police. Now, I've had, you know, the ambulance or whatever, but I've never called the police and don't plan on, you know, having to call them, you know, if need be. Because I just don't feel like it's a legit organization and they're looking out for, you know, my best interest. You know what I'm saying? So.
But I saw that video, too. I was just getting ready to say that I was just thinking back to that video situation and Mufasa said he had just looked at. I saw it, too, and the he was running and all that stuff, but I just really hate that the situations are so unbalanced because here you have a white guy that you know. It ain't no suspect. You ain't suspicious. You know for absolute certain he just killed 9 people. You don't know why he did it. That means you are at jail. You don't know why he killing folks, and he killed 9 people, and yet you are not afraid of him. You're not scared. You can approach him with your guns, not even drawn. You're talking to him nice, you know, taking
right.
him to eat, locking him up. And here you have somebody that you just think maybe have broken a window or broken in a car, and you know this man just murdered. Right, you know somebody just murdered and killed 9 people, and you don't know why he did it. You was at Jeffrey, because what if he was just straight up crazy, and then he didn't know what he was doing. He just ran, just shooting anybody he saw, and you're not even afraid of this man just because he white.
Right.
I just
you talking
hate
about Dylan
that
Roof.
The scale is
you're
so right. And we can even go back to the guy who just killed them kids, the 7 kids at the school.
Yeah. Right.
You know he just
got
killed 7 to and it's like you're not afraid of this man that's shooting. He just shot and killed people, and you know this.
Right.
And you're not afraid of him if you don't know why he did it. I just hate that scale is so unbalanced. It's like I can't get with that. It's so
at this point it's so blatant and in your face. It's like it happens multiple times. Like how many videos have we seen of white people fighting the police, trying to take the gun and getting off and getting, you know, just getting arrested, getting tased or whatever. Like, it's just so blatant in your face now. It's just it's ridiculous at this point.
Yeah,
so
they letting us know what time it is.
Yeah, they letting
they
us know what time it is, so we should know, right. You know, we should know. And speaking of, now remember the cop in Minneapolis, it was a black cop in Minneapolis that shot the lady. I think this was last summer,
lady.
I believe. Yeah, he shot the white lady in Minneapolis. Yeah. So he's now, the officer name is Mohammed Noor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a black male,
mm-hmm.
and he shot a white woman named Justine Diamond, in Minneapolis. He said it was an accident, it was dark, somebody had called about a robbery or whatever, and he could barely see, and, you know, he opened up fire and killed a woman. So this went on. This was last year, so now he's actually being charged with murder. And watch what I tell you. He will probably go to jail for this. You know, even though he's a cop and people, right, exactly. You said that, and people be talking about Blue Lives Matter. But where's the Blue Lives Matter for this brother? See, everything comes down, like I always say, to a racial issue. And because this man is black, and she was a white woman, he is more than likely going to be convicted. Now, remember, this is the same state where Philando Castile got shot. Well, this man got shot in front of his girlfriend and his daughter, and he was legally, you know, he could legally carry, and the police shot him while he was getting his registration. This is the same state. And those police officers got off. But we go follow this case and watch. I believe this brother is going to get convicted. You know, yeah. Which is sad. So that just lets you know what it is.
We definitely got to stay up on top of it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We look at it like that's his fire, and I still feel like that. This type of treatment is never going to change. I don't see it fixing itself. That's why I always, like I've been saying for, you know, months since we've been doing the show, that the only answer for me is to totally separate. That's just it. That don't mean we can't respect each other from afar, but we can't deal with each other. Because they're going to always, and I guess I shouldn't generalize, but, you know, they look at us as not being human. That's why you can gun a man down in the backyard like that for being suspected of breaking a window or stealing a car. Because you don't even look at him as a human being anyway. They look at him like a low down dog, like a mutt. But a white person that committed the crimes that y'all are speaking of, they look at them as just being a sick family member.
Right. You did this, y'all? Yeah, y'all hear how they were describing the Austin terrorists? The police sheriff in Austin was like, you know, we saw the video, and he was just a troubled young man. You know, he was just facing the challenges of life. Like, we should just feel sorry for him. There was nothing, you know, he's not psychotic. I mean, they was really just handling this dude with, like, kid gloves. I'm like, are y'all serious? So when black kids, you know, like I made a post, so when black kids have issues at home, you know, they may join a gang and commit a crime. Are they not, you know, troubled young men who are just facing challenges in life? But see, they don't look at us like that. You see what I'm saying? The goal of the system is always to vilify black people and black men, make us the villains no matter what we do. And then when a white person commits a crime, it's always to humanize them. You know what I mean? Even if they are the criminal or the perpetrator of the crime, it's supposed to be like, okay, you're supposed to feel sorry for him. He had a reason. You know, he was just a quiet kid. He was getting bullied. His girlfriend left. You know, you should understand that he just shot all these people or blew up these people or did this or did that. You know, they want you to feel some type of sympathy. They like to humanize themselves when they commit crimes. But when it's us, we animals, thugs, dogs, heathens. You see what I'm saying? And that's the way, like, that's the way the system is and always has been. Like, I'm just glad it's to a point where a lot of us are starting to recognize it, but that still doesn't change the fact that, you know, that's how they play us, you know. That's how they play us. There's always a reason for them committing a crime. But when it's us, oh, just lock the thugs up and give them the death penalty. Oh, this is another thing. Donald Trump talking about giving the death penalty to drug dealers.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, to opioid dealers, he's talking about giving the death penalty to folks. Now, how y'all feel about that?
So you say it's ridiculous.
Yeah, to drug. He's talking, to opioid or heroin dealers, and, you know, he's talking about giving the death penalty.
I think that's ridiculous. The death penalty to anybody, unless it's like, someone that you, like a Jeffrey Dahmer, or like somebody that's just killing folks, no reason and no rhyme or reason, you can't figure them out and all that type of stuff like that, then I can understand that, you know, you do something real heinous to somebody's life and things like that, I can get it, but to just regular drug dealers, unless you have the drugs, you're a drug dealer, but then you take the drugs and use it to poison a whole group of people because you're just crazy and you know, disturbed. Yeah.
Right, but nah, okay, he's just talking about drug dealers. I guess he mentioned something like drug kingpins or drug dealers getting a death penalty, which, by the way, is not even a violent crime. Like, that's the thing. America is the biggest drug country on the planet. We use more drugs than any country, period. You know, and, you know, the CIA and the government lets a lot of these drugs come in. So why don't they get the death penalty? They running this multi-billion-dollar drug enterprise, and they let these low-level street guys, you know, let them sell for a little bit until they get caught or, you know, let them play the game. So it's all a big game and a big scam. That's why the whole thing is absurd to even say give drug dealers a death penalty. That doesn't make any sense, because then you got to look at how are the drugs getting into the country. You see, they don't want to ask those questions, you know.
And not only that, that's going to mean that the police don't have to shoot the drug dealers. We'll just lock them up and kill them later, and the white people still going to get off.
Exactly. And this is what's going to happen. The white people still going to get off. They're going to get rehab and, you know, second chances and all this other stuff. So that's why I always say the laws in this country are for black people. Period. Now,
yeah,
they're
trying to figure out a way where it don't look so brutal, where they just
killing
them on the side of the road, so they just lock them up and then kill them. They're like, you ain't got to kill them now. We just catch them and they get killed anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to probably try to do both. In some circumstances, they're going to kill them now, and in some, they're going to lock them up and kill them later. So, you know, like I say, the laws are really for us to keep us in check. They sweep up a few white people in there, but the laws
just
are for the black
folks. Just for the deception of it, to make it appear to be.
Right. It's just for us, because we know that if a black person or a white person get caught for doing the exact same crime, the exact same way, typically the judge or the jury is going to be more lenient towards the white person. And a black person is going to get the book thrown at him. He's going to get a stiffer penalty, you know, most of the time, in general. You know what I'm saying? And this is across the board, because we do know that black and white people commit crimes at the same rate. That's a fact. It's just that black people are policed more. You see what I'm saying? We just, in our community, are just policed more, but they're selling drugs in the suburbs. They're committing crimes in the suburbs. They're robbing, stealing. All these type of things go on in the suburbs, you know, especially drugs. I went to a suburban high school. It was so much drugs on that campus, it was ridiculous. Same with college. You know, I went to a predominantly white college. It was so much drugs on that college campus, it was crazy. You know, are these people going to get the death penalty? You see? But no, what it is the black community is going to be targeted over police, and when they happen to catch somebody, they'll be like, yeah, let's give them a death penalty, you know.
Because you know what? It's easy to say, because I know, we have, you know, some brokenness and issues in our community, but it's easy when you have a group of people that lacking so much stuff, and then you try to compare them to another group of people that have so many opportunities. That's just unfair.
Exactly.
You know, their behavior.
Exactly.
You know, the behavior of those two groups are going to definitely be different, because the circumstances
exactly.
and the environments are different. You know, you got a group of people in the city that have, you know, the worst foods and
right.
not a lot of money, drugs, just the whole circumstances. And you're trying to compare this group to a group that don't have these same issues. I think that's just unfair. But let's take a caller. Let's take a caller, and let's go to caller 314-616. Caller, state your name. You have a comment.
Hey, can everybody hear me?
Hey,
yeah,
hey, how you doing?
Peace, caller.
Okay. How's it going, everybody? Peace.
How you doing?
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm just kind of digesting what some of you guys are saying, and what I want to state is the white man in America is the deadliest thing to America. The white man is the most dangerous thing to America. It's not the Mexican, not the angry black man,
right.
None
right.
of that. It's the white man. There has been no other being on the planet that has conquered, colonized, raped, pillaged, and done the things that this white man has done. You know, I'm looking at everything that's going on. It's really letting us know that we're in a state of war. And particularly with the last thing that you said about, you know, President Trump trying to enforce a law that we're going to put the death penalty to all drug dealers. Well, you have to
right.
think about like this, you know, not only the people that get caught with drugs, how many cops have planted drugs on people? So
exactly.
now I don't even have to kill you anymore. I can just plant mm-hmm. drugs on you, and then that'll get you sent away to the death penalty. And then I look at this mm-hmm. this lecture by Dr. Umar, I think it's about 5 years old, and he was stating these things. See, these things are set in place through these executive orders. And one president
right.
does one thing, and then down the line, the other president enforces it. And so
mm-hmm.
what we're also saying, they're not going to tell you, is that these people will be tried without an attorney. These
right.
people will be locked up and put to death with no jurisdiction, no oversight, no anything, because this is how white supremacy is ran. This thing is not done.
Right.
Voting is everything goes down to power. And as far as,
right.
you know, with the situation we were talking about with the police, Desmond
mm-hmm.
is inside the matrix, the illusion, they're painting a false fear in our minds. Now, me personally, I can't speak for nobody else, but the day the police kill one of my kids, particularly my boys, once you killed them, you killed me. And for me,
right.
I can only speak for myself. By any means necessary, that would be the point where I'm going to put the news on alert, and I would arm myself and take out every white police officer that I see, and so I'm taking out for myself. And until we
right.
have that kind of attitude where we have no fear of death, because the compliance does not work. You can't fight white supremacy with prayer. You can't fight it through,
right.
through a peaceful protest. It has to be fought at the same rate that it's being propagated to you. You follow what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm enjoying the show. You guys have an excellent bill, because tonight things are just kind of open. So I won't
yeah.
say too much if somebody else wants to call in, or I'll text anything that I have to say. So that's
pretty
much all I got at this point.
Indeed, indeed. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call. And that's, you know, the caller made some good points. But that's where we at this point. You see, we got to understand, because the war is being waged on us. And I've been aware of the war on black people, I can say, at least since 2002. Like, I may be late to the game, but, you know, I started coming into being aware and being, you know, quote-unquote conscious around that time. So I've been aware of the war since that time. And when I do my research, I understand that it's been going on my whole life. The war that's been on black people has been going on my whole life, you know, from my understanding and from my perception. So now at this point, we got Donald Trump in office. They just making it more blatant. You see, now it's not like the 80s and 90s when they could, you know, fake the funk and do a covert war on black people. Now it's to the point where they're being open, they're being blatant. You know, the news is in on it. All your major news outlets are in on it. The politicians, the police, like, all these things are happening. Like, because the news, like, people be like, well, are they all just working together and doing this? Yeah, they're working together. They're sticking to a code. So the media doesn't necessarily have to know what the police is doing. You know, the white police officer is doing his job. Same as the media. The white media person is doing their job maintaining white supremacy. So they don't have to know what each other doing, but each one of them are sticking to code. And that's the thing a lot of black people don't understand, is war is being waged on you on a lot of fronts. you know, education-wise, you know, media, law enforcement, just all different areas of people activity that you can think of wars being waged on black people. And until we understand that, you know, we're not going to be able to build up a front to, you know, to fight on these, you know, to fight on these different fronts, to fight these battles on these different fronts, shall I say. You know, so that's, you know, we just got to come to terms with that. We got to be real. This is a war. And
well,
now, like I said, it's just getting more blatant. So whether you, you know, it's a war, but just black people haven't been fighting for the longest time. Even though, you know, we kind of make excuses, well, that's over there and this and that. Like, you can kind of talk yourself out of things, but you have to prepare yourself and your family to understand that, yes, you are treated different. There is a war being waged on you. People want to sabotage your progress, you see. And we, you know, just got to be real. I don't know any other way to put it.
I must ask y'all just to shift topics slightly, but not too much, but slightly. And all this that we're going through with this police behavior, and what all you just said, Brother Kev and the caller, all I want to ask y'all is, where is God at in this situation? Where is the Most High? Where is Yahshua with all this stuff going on? Where is the magical man in the sky?
The Sky Daddy.
Where is Sky Daddy?
Sky Daddy. Anybody, don't give a damn.
Can anybody want to tell me where Sky Daddy is? Why this type of behavior is going on? What is Sky Daddy doing?
Sky Daddy got his feet kicked up, smoking a cigar, watching the NCAA tournament. And he gonna let niggas catch as much hell, excuse my friends, but he, from what I see, he just gonna let us catch hell until he decide to crack over the clouds. Other than that, it's a done deal. So that's why I say, hey, the real God is asleep in all of us, and we don't recognize that the God is in sleep, laying dormant inside of us. Therefore, we're not doing enough, you know, myself included. You see what I'm saying? Myself included. But until we recognize the God in ourselves, you know, the situation not really going to change. As long as we're praying outside of us, we're going to still be, you know, especially if we're praying to a dead man. If he couldn't save himself on the Romans, how in the world is he going to save us? And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I mean, I'd like to add something to that. And Kevin, I'm going to do this. God, the Creator, is here, and it's more so that the people, humanity, us, if we just want to even just stick with the black community, we are not using the power that God has given us. We don't this world don't belong to no group of nobody. If we really wanted to do something, and we, Mufasa and I was talking earlier, we was talking about fear. If people wasn't so afraid of, you know, the pain and the suffering that we tell ourselves and what we expect when we get hurt or death, we would rise up more. Nobody's stopping us from rising up. The people that we're talking about are still human like us. They're still human like us. So forget a system. We can talk about the humans. There's nothing stopping a group of black people to train and study and somehow get up in that doggone, this is just a wild example, like a movie, to get into the White House, assassinate the president, and kill everybody else who's coming for him. Ain't nobody stopping us from doing that. God is not going to stop us from doing that. God is here. God gave us power. We don't want to use and exercise the power that we have for fear and mainly of death. So we just sitting back taking it. We don't have to, though. And just because we're sitting back taking it, it ain't God's fault. It ain't God, like, I gave you power. You got power. Ain't no another type of man. They ain't made different from us.
Right.
So God has given us power. Mm-hmm. Like I used the analogy before, if I'm a coach and I come train all the black people to train for the World Cup playing soccer, teach you everything I know, all the power, give y'all all the information, and here it is, we on the field, the ball come to your feet, you look over at me, what's up? That's the power. You got the information. What you looking at God for?
Right.
So with that being said, the power is within us, correct?
Yes. We are created as equal men. Yeah, we do have some physical differences and strengths and things like that. We do have different, you know, capabilities when it comes to physical. Some people are taller, some are shorter, but we can exercise the same inner strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if the black people was to rise up and say, screw all you white folks, screw the police, screw your laws, we ain't about to do nothing, I ain't about to pay your taxes, come for me and I'm blow you up. Would this guy go to us? No.
Right.
Just like he ain't do nothing to them. So we can do it.
Exactly.
We're not.
Exactly.
We're not doing it.
So I'm glad to hear you say that. So now we know we don't need Sky Daddy because we can do it ourselves. We don't need Sky Daddy.
Let me just say something real quick. Before you go all the way in with that, just let me say something real quick because I want to put it on record that I'm not saying we don't need Sky Daddy because Sky Daddy has already given us what we need. We're not using what he gave us.
Okay. Well, thanks, Sky Daddy. Appreciate you. Now move out the way. Don't get
in the way.
He ain't in the way.
You take the focus off him. He ain't in the way.
Well, you can make an argument that he is in a way because the church would keep you passive and not even thinking about racism or white. Matter of fact, a lot of churches support this wicked government. They don't stand up and say no to wars or deter their congregation from sending their kids to the military and not paying taxes or going against the grain when it comes to this wicked system.
That has nothing to do with God. That has nothing to do with them wanting to have their power in the little circle that they're in. They don't have nothing to do with God. That's them wanting the money and the little bit of power in their small circle of community. And make them look big in a small look. We have a big galaxy. We got Earth is a small speck compared to the huge galaxy. Earth is a small speck, and everybody want to be big on that small speck. That's all it is. That ain't got nothing to do with God. That's just got everything to do with the fact that the pastors. They want the benefit of being a pastor. And all, I'm sorry, I got a little bit distracted because I'm trying to see what the devil is doing.
That's all right.
God's name, though. God ain't in the way. And all I'm saying is God's not in the way. God gave us power. We not using it.
Right. I agree with that statement.
We are the God. We got the power to make it do what it do. And we need to accept that responsibility.
I agree with that, too.
It's not going to change if we don't change it. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That we
ain't enough prayer in the world.
On the Most High and all these other stuff to happen. The Creator, like you said, gave us life, created everything, put everything into existence, everything into being. Now, this stuff that we need to correct, the things that are making us happy and the things that's unrighteous towards us, we got to make the change. You know what I'm saying? We do have to make the change. That's why it's so important that we pay attention to how we live our individual lives and the things that we do. You know, I had a conversation yesterday with a good friend of mine, really like my best friend. He came over to my house when I was watching a video of some NOI brothers protesting outside a beauty shop. And they was basically directing people in front of the business to go down the street and spend money with their own people, okay? Now, my partner came in last tail end of it, like, watching, like, what you looking at? I said, you know, just sit down and check it out. And so as soon as he see the brothers telling the people, you know, don't go in here, y'all can go down the other way, he like, see, that's some bull. Why they harassing them people? Why they messing with them? And I'm like, he don't grasp why the brothers are doing that. I said, let him do his little rant, you know, like, that ain't cool. See, they on some boo harassing people. They got to hustle and make their money. And my look at it is, why do you care that if they, why do you care about they hustling and them making money? When they basically are taking our money, they in our community and taking our money from us, and taking it back to their community and wherever they stay.
Mm-hmm.
So who cares about they hustle? You should be appreciating that the brothers is trying to put some money in some fellow black people's hands. That's how I look at it. We got into a big old argument over that. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, dude, what? Why are you defending me? And then after a while, there was some Chinese people whose store was. You know, they was mad because the brothers out there doing that. Then they called they store owners. And guess what? The store owners were some old Jewish people. Jewish people show up on the scene. They really heated. They're like, y'all got to leave. And they're like, we don't have to leave. We've been done all right. Just stay here and, you know, and try to give advice, or not advice, but let our people know where they can go and put money into their own people's hands. It's like, you shouldn't have a problem with that. The Jewish people tried to tell them they was committing a hate crime.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Yeah, that's a hate crime.
They were committing a hate crime.
Stop it. Stop it.
But
yeah,
you know,
that,
that's what's important. Yeah. We're so brainwashed and we don't understand that we don't have that. We had to have a straight, pure love for ourselves, our people. That's the only thing. We don't stop getting abused like this. You know, it's like women that get abused. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to stop and change. You can look at yourself and love yourself enough to say, I'm tired of you abusing me. I don't want to deal with you. And that's how we got to be.
Yeah, we got to be unapologetically black. But see, that, like, you hit it right on the head, bro. We don't have that love for ourselves. And the battlefield is in the mind. Always has been, always will be. And we losing that battle because we quick to stick up for other folks, but when it comes to each other, we want to put the mean mug on and treat each other bad and do all these other things. And that's how the system keeps running, because we're the only group without any type of unity or any type of code of conduct where we, you know, move as a cohesive unit. You know, we just worried about the individual and, you know, we treat each other bad in a lot of instances. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I say the real evil is ignorance and confusion. Those are the two evilest things on the planet, ignorance and confusion. Because that's what causes a lot of problems and, you know, a lot of things to go bad because people are ignorant and people are confused, you know. And it's sad until we realize and get it together. It's going to continue to happen. You know,
yeah,
I feel
like a fool, Brother Kev, if I'm sitting up, like, loving all these other groups of people, and I see what happened to people that look like me, and I'm just supposed to, what do you expect me to ignore that, like, that ain't happening? I can't do that. I can't ignore that. I see what's happening to people that look like me, to black people. I see what's happening. I see how we are treated, you know, throughout the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
On a daily basis.
Yeah. So how can I sit up and ignore that, to sit up and act like all these other different people are so much my brother and my sister, and, you know, we supposed to kumbaya and get along, when you don't stick up and fight for my cause? You
right.
know what I'm saying? If I'm sitting up telling these same Chinese people that are selling us Chinese food on every corner in the hood, they
right.
don't care about getting shot down in the streets. They don't care about that.
No. Not at all.
They don't put their kids in our schools to try to help our schools become better. They don't funnel no money back in our communities. They just take
not
our
at
money
all.
And roll on. But I'm supposed to sit up here and just ignore that. I feel like a fool. I can't ignore that. So it's not my fault. You can't blame me. It's not my fault that I don't want to be a fool. You know what I'm saying? The world
right.
can't get mad at me for that. You
no.
know, I'm reacting to what's being dealt to me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's how they get you in a trick bag, because they made it, you know, at one point it was not cool to be unapologetically black, you know, to stick up for black people. They shunned down on that, even within the black community. You know, people be like, man, I don't want to hear that black power stuff. I don't want to hear that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Even within our community, people be like that. So that's like, dang, you don't want to hear about black empowerment, about uplifting black people, about, you know, the great things that we did and trying to, you know, restore our history and this and that. But no, niggas be like, they don't want to hear that stuff, which is crazy.
y'all tell me, why do y'all think that some of our people are like that? Why do you think some of our people be like, I don't want to hear about that black empowerment stuff. I ain't know that. What do y'all think is going on in a person's mind that make them say something like that?
I think that they are, I think it's still fear. I think it's still an inner fear that they don't want, if they know about it, they would prefer to be ignorant to it, and they don't want it to be brought to their attention. They don't want to change. They don't want to die. That's telling them, that's the end of it. They don't want to die. They don't want to change. They figure if they change and fight, it's death at the end, and they don't want that. So I think they would much rather say,
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, some of them ain't even tripping off to death. They just don't want to change, because change is too
old. Right, because I was going to say, niggas shoot each other every day, so it can't be the death. It got to be something else that's stopping them. But I agree, it's the fear. It's a lot of the fear of, I think it's fear of pissing white people off, I think, because I think they've made it to the point where if you talk about black power and stuff like that, you know, you get called a racist by folks, and, you know, they just made it not cool for you to love yourself, especially for black people. They just made that not cool. And we just want to, you know, go along and get along, and we don't want to piss white people off, because we know that at the end of the day, at this point, they hold the power, and they can make our life easier. They can make it hard, you know, depending on how they feeling that day. And we recognize that. And we don't want no parts of rocking the boat. You know, we seen what they did to our leaders. We seen what they did to our groups, our black power groups. And we see, you know, we see how all this stuff went. And in the back of our mind, we like, no, we don't want to cause no problems. So a lot of that is fear of, you know, not wanting to say nothing, not wanting to, you know, engage in some talk about black empowerment.
Yeah, fear, and there's some ego involved.
Fear,
and
ego.
Some hurt.
Yeah.
And some hurt that some of us take advantage of our own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we take advantage of our own. It's a lot of sicknesses, but then they'll treat somebody outside the community better. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many times have y'all been to a store where, you know, the person in, you got a black person behind the counter and they helping a white person in front of you and they all nice and happy. Then when you come up, that smile go away and, you know what I'm saying? They got a little attitude with you. It's like, dang, what's really going on?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? What's really going on? So we got a lot of internal issues that we need to deal with. Like I said, it's all in the mind. You know what I'm saying? But I get so sick of, you know, going to barbershops or sitting in barbershops and all black men talk about is sports. I mean, come on. Like, that's okay, but it's really starting to get aggravating when that is the first topic of conversation is sports that we played when we was kids. And I'm at the point where I'm really not impressed that a mug can dribble a ball or throw a football. These are kid games. You see what I'm saying? These are kid games. We are world-class people and should be thinking on a world-class level. You know, that's something you do when you were kids. Okay, they make a lot of money, but so what? I'm really not impressed that you can dunk a basketball like that.
Hey,
you can
catch
it, you can tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on,
man.
You got to elevate myself.
I'm going to add something to that list, Brother Kev. I ain't impressed with people who can make their voice go, ooh. What do I mean? You can make your voice do all these ranges. Whoopity-doo. Just because you can put some rhymes together. We in the shop talking about who the greatest rapper.
Yeah. We go too far with that, yeah. Yeah.
You put some words together that rhyme. Okay.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah, sports and entertainment. But I will say now, music is spiritual. If we was to use it right, there's a lot of good stuff that can come from music. But I'm with you as far as discussing rap and, you know, even though I'm a hip-hop head, I'm not talking about I can go in on rap and discuss it, all that. But we have to be able to conversate about other things besides sports and entertainment. We got to be able to go, you know, a little deeper and talk about black empowerment, talk about the kids, what are we, you know, schools, books, anything. You know what I'm saying? Just other than the same old that got us on the lockdown. You know what I'm saying? That keep us on the lockdown. And mugs will get real passionate about sports and, you know, give you all the stats. You bring up some black empowerment or some books, they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want to hear it. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do on that front.
And hopefully, I didn't get a chance to tell you, too. I went reached out to a brother today that we can talk to next week and on one of our shows upcoming, give us some tips up on eating healthy, dieting correctly and stuff like that. So we want to get, you know, on board with the health kick or taking care of ourselves. You know, I've been on this journey for maybe a week now myself and trying to eat differently, change my diet and this time I'm trying to stay disciplined because I stop, start, and I just lose my discipline in it. But that's the difference with me around. I'm really trying to stay disciplined on that because, you know, our body is the true house of God. Not nothing that man and made, you know what I'm saying, nothing that man put together.
This is
our bodies is the house of God. You know, there's nothing created but God.
That is a fact, my brother. I say that should have been a fact. That was a fact. That the body is the house of God. The body is the temple. And where you stand is the holy land. Can I get amen, church? Amen.
Amen.
But no, them actual facts right there. Them actual facts. The body is the house of God. So, yeah, congratulations on that, man. Hope you stick with it. You know, it's definitely important because, you know, your body is your vessel. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you want to prolong your life and have a healthy life, you know, it only makes sense for you to treat it right and put the right stuff in it so you can, you know, get going and get the most out of your physical body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was talking to Rigel. As a matter of fact, we all three of us kind of had this talk, I think a few days ago, when we was talking about which, like, a religious doctrine that we lean towards more, this and the third. And I was telling Rigel that I lean more towards the NOI. So y'all might hear me talking a lot about the Nation of Islam, you know, moving forward, because I really have a lot of respect for that program and what they have done for Black people. You know
Indeed.
What I'm saying? So
I agree.
Some of the brothers and sisters that's in the Nation, looking at Farrakhan and his wife, they're in their 80s. You know what I'm saying? And look how well they look, how good they look, how they move. You know, I saw a video with it's a brother named Mel Tajik. I can't think of his full name, but he a brother from the Nation, and he be in Harlem a lot. And the brother, 82 years old. And if you look at him, I swear he looked like he could be in his late 50s, maybe his 60s. But he's 80, and he's functioning well. And he tell you straight up, I'm living like this, I'm looking like this, it's all because of Elijah Muhammad's plan. The messenger taught us how to eat, the proper way to eat. You know what I'm saying? And there's got to be something to that, because you see so many of them brothers and sisters that who fully apply it like they should, they is bear witness that you see how they living and they looking. So it's got to be something to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So, some of us just don't follow. We got all these, and when it comes to our people, like, you know, we got everything that we need. Everything we need to do is already out here. We got Marcus Garvey that laid out a plan for us. We got Elijah Muhammad that laid out a plan for us. We just don't follow. We are not having discipline ourselves to follow. You know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of things ain't changed from us, because we ain't followed the plan that our leaders have laid down for us. And we will follow these what they have let down. If we will follow the instructions correctly, we'd be out of a lot of situations that we're in too now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is a fact.
The whole Justice or Else movement, you know, the or else was we supposed to have been boycotting. We supposed to have been stopped spending our money outside of our communities and outside of our race. Are we doing it 200%? No.
Right.
We're still doing things that go against the teachings and go against what the messenger said we should do.
Yeah.
We haven't separated. We still want to intermingle with this thing, for lack of a better word, with this beast.
Right.
We still want to share the same things and live amongst them. But it's not working. We still in the same trick bag. We're still going through the same things we've been through. We've been going for years. Ain't nothing changed.
Nothing.
You know, pretty soon, we're going to get rocked to sleep so much sooner or later. We're going to be rocked to sleep so tough, we're going to end up back in slavery.
Yeah.
That they in slavery. That's been so for real. I ain't talking about mental slavery. I'm talking about physical.
For real.
And because we ain't paying attention to what happened to us in the past, we not going to know how to handle it. We ain't going to know what's going on. How to deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. It's really, you know, it's. We gotta wait and see what's going on, though.
Something else to share with y'all. I told Rigel about it either last night or this morning. You might know about it, Brother K. Have you heard about this little rift that's going on between the new Black Panther Party and NOI? I'm not even going to say it's between the two functions. I'm not even going to put that out there like that. It's between the two functions. But some things were said by Wesley Muhammad a few days ago about Malik Zulu Shabazz, which Malik Zulu Shabazz didn't appreciate. So he said a few things. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it's basically over a book that's coming out about Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Wesley Muhammad felt like this ain't the time for the book to come out because Farrakhan is being, you know, is going through a lot, being fighting with these different Jews, and you know, a lot of people are talking down and saying stuff on his name right now. And now you're trying to bring this book out, what's going to expose some more things that, you know, put people in another type of negative feeling towards the minister. So Malik wants the book to come out. So he wasn't too happy about the words that Wesley Muhammad had put out there about him. So with that situation, I was just going to say that from both in both factions, we have to realize that we are family. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure that we'll get nipped in the bud quickly. You know what I'm saying? Because we are family at the end of the day. We are brothers. You know, and we can't let something so foolish like a book coming out tear us apart. So the infighting amongst us, you know, it has to stop.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't really know too much about that. I mean, I feel you. I look at the infighting a little different. I mean, because I think it's going to happen. It just depends on how far people take it.
How far,
you know what
right.
I mean? You know, because there's nothing wrong with it, a little disagreement between, you know, people. But as long as we still understand the common goal, you know, and the common enemy, I still think we can move. Because it's not, even when Black people get it together and unify on a particular code, that doesn't mean that we're going to agree on every single issue and it's going to be all kumbaya and nobody's going to be beat. You know what I'm saying? It just depends on how far you take it and do you still understand the common goal and the common enemy, and you're not trying to sabotage your brother or, you know, do anything to impede on, you know, the progress of the whole movement. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't know that. But yeah, this was something that was going on too. Just switching topic a little bit. I guess the porn star that says she slept with Donald Trump for the interview tonight or doing the interview, and it's supposed to be real big. I guess she exposing that he paid her like $130,000 to be quiet, and they supposedly had the affair when he was married to Melania and she had just had their son, the youngest son. And so that's a big thing in the news, but I really think that this is just this is all staged for real. Like, people knew about this for a long time. It's really nothing going to happen behind it. It ain't like, you know, he can get impeached for cheating on his wife. So I think it's just all staged. It's just some drama to give people, you know, to distract people, basically. Just like the Monica Lewinsky thing with Bill Clinton. It was all a setup and just a distraction for the masses of people just to get him something to, you know, I guess to talk about or whatever, why other things are going on. So just wanted to share that little news that's out there. Apparently she on 2020 or seeing one of them shows, spilling the beans on the president. You know, that they had an affair. So this presidency is funny.
What'd you call it? I wonder if she got a dirty dress.
Right. That'd be, you know, she might.
She got a stinky dress.
Yeah, she might have a dirty dress, but yeah, it's funny. You know what I mean? Just another thing in the news to keep the masses distracted. And Black Panther. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, he definitely a character. It's just like I said when he got in office, that we was going to be entertained. You know what I'm saying? Oh, real quick, because I heard that the cat was talking big and bag about gun control with all this shooting stuff that happened, like with the school shooting, but then had a meeting with the NRA and bagged down real quick about the gun control. Did y'all hear about that?
No, I mean, I heard some of the parts. I didn't know he had a meeting with the NRA, which doesn't surprise me. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you know,
they reminded him of who, you know what I'm saying? Well, stay in your lane, brother. We you can't go against us.
Right, because yesterday, I guess they had the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. and a whole bunch of other cities. And Trump was down in Florida playing golf. And Trump wasn't thinking about that stuff. He was down playing golf. But, yeah, I think it's all, see, all that marching for them schools, man, nothing's going to happen. The guns are not going nowhere. You know, they may ban assault rifles or whatever, but the guns are not going anywhere. Like, people can hang that up. There's no gun control. There's none of that. They're not giving it up. So
I ain't giving up mine.
Right, as you shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't. Nobody should. But it's just funny that all the gun violence, quote unquote, in the black community, now all of a sudden a few white schools get shot up. Not everybody about gun control. What was everybody at before? Like, it's been gun violence for a long time in these states. You see what I'm saying? But, you know, that's why I be looking at that stuff. Like, a lot of it would be fake outrage, if you ask me. Like, they need to just stop it, you know. But, I was going to say, shout out to Black Panther on becoming the highest grossing comic book movie of all time.
All time.
Black Panther been getting it in.
Dang.
You know, it has been getting it in. I think it's at, it's well over $1 billion. So I want to say like 1.4, 1.5. So, yeah, Black Panther has been killing it. It has.
Yeah, I know they got.
Good.
I know I contributed. They got my money. I went to see the movie dropping four times.
Yeah, buddy.
So can't say I didn't. Hey, you know one thing about me, you can't say I ain't support my people.
Yeah.
I support that movie for sure. Cause hey, I got a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Oh yeah, we check the archives, family. If y'all listening, check the archives. We did about three shows just touching on different topics of Black Panther. And we had some pretty good bids on that.
What y'all think?
How y'all think Killmonger will handle these police if he get pulled over?
he trained. He's a trained soldier. He probably, you know, he go knock them off before they even get a chance to shoot him. First he go, you know, he go play it smooth. First he go can fly like he was doing with the lady in the British Museum. He go be nice and comply, but as soon as they get the trip, he go knock them off and make it look like they shot themselves in friendly fire or something. Like that's what I imagine Killmonger doing. You know, I'd be like, officer, why'd you pull me over? And he'd be like, as soon as he go back and run this place, he go snipe them.
y'all still never checked out on the Black Lightning on the TV channel?
No, I haven't, but I seen an article where they was talking about the sister that plays in it, and I was like, yeah, this is the show you was talking about, but I still haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, that's you ain't checked it out, Roger. yeah, y'all missing out. Black Lightning is a good series.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I don't got a CW, so I'm having. No, I was on the CW.
What's
CW? I think that's 11. That's 11 here, Cape. I think that's 11 here, I think.
Oh.
Out there, yeah, that's 11 in the St. Louis area. But, yeah, so we got about 10 minutes left to the live stream. This is Collective Minds Radio. We just build, and this one is a freestyle show. You know, we just talking about current events, you know, what's been in the news, whatever been on our minds or whatever. And we just going from there. This is Brother Kev. We got Mufasa Ra and Rigel Starr. So we got about 9 minutes left to the live stream. Y'all want to get anything else in before we get ready to wrap it up?
I like to put something on record because I know we had discussed this several times, and I know Brother Kevin and myself tend to bump heads on this each and every time, but I still think that we are overpopulated. I still think so. I was thinking about it, and it crossed my mind again as we were talking today and just listening to some of the issues and stuff. And it's like, if I was to just go up high into this sky and just look down on this world, it would just be, so just like you said, so much confusion, so much chaos. People don't even know what's going on enough to just stop and sit still to even unite. It's just too impossible because it's just too much going on. It's just too many folks and it's too much going on amongst us. It's just too much confusion. You look down on this earth, boy, I tell you, I can just imagine the chaos and the movement that you're gonna see on this earth just rampant. It's just too fast paced. It's just too much. It's just, how would you get all these people to just settle down to go and unite into one thing? It's like it's just too much. I just can't handle it. And I guess I'm that way because
right.
My personality, you know, I'm not into big crowds and all that type of stuff. You know, so it's like I need to just go to the mountains. It's just too many folks. I just can't. So I guess that's why I notice it to that degree, and I interpreted it that way as well because my personality, I'm like, it's just too many folks. It's too many people. Can nobody just, you know, even barely look in the same direction? Everybody's so caught up doing their own thing, and they, you know, nobody's. It's like, I don't understand how can it happen.
You might just need to relocate to like a very small, small, small town. Because it's not like that all over the world. It is some quiet places in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, let me be more clear. Yeah, because if that's the case, I mean, as there's times even here in St. Louis that it's not like that, you know. But I'm saying just in general, overall, I'm just saying, if you was to have a bird's eye view, it's just like it's a lot going on this planet with just people just doing this and that. I just think it's chaotic. I personally think it's chaotic, and even from the standpoint of just the energy that we're giving off, even if it's just not the moon, people talking all the time, all that. You know what I've learned. I'm going to research this more too, but. I know I've said before, I know Mufasa remember us talking before, but I've said it amongst us all, though, about how I always felt like words and language is just confusion, you know. And I want to do a study on it because I was learning that words, they use, you know, as a spell. I don't know if you guys
right.
ever heard of that.
Yeah, right, spelling, yeah. That's what I was talking
right.
about
spelling.
With the
right.
spelling.
Exactly.
It's a spell. It casts spells.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Spelling.
That's
exactly. Spell. It's a spell. That's not like all this talk, all this stuff is just too much. I think people just need to settle down, get a grip, restructure themselves, you know, transform, and just, you know, just do things a whole lot differently than the way that we do things now. You know, I just think we just think so wrong and incorrectly, and it just messes our vibe up. It messes our energy up. All the energy that we give off, it just messes all it up. People confused on medication, all these type of antidepression and stress and all that type of stuff. They can't even settle down. You got to get up, go to work, get the kids, do this, do that, do that, do that. You know, sleeping 3-4 hours a night if you can, because you're worried and depressed about something. And
right.
It's just...
Yeah, this definitely, I will agree. Yeah, it's definitely a chaotic world. But that'd be my argument. It's not the amount of people. It's the way that society is structured, you know.
Right, and I agree with that, too.
The society, the white supremacists who set up this society, confusion is the order of the day. They love confusion, you know, with words, with different forms, with different levels of the government. Just everything is just so confusing, and that is done on purpose. That's to keep people in a state to where they're confused, you know, keep people in a state where they're constantly chasing something, material items, you know, it's always something to get. You know, it's just a lot going on. You're distracted. You're not getting a lot of sleep. You need money, so you're working two jobs. You know, you don't even have time to spend the money. You got to pay bills. You got to do this. You got to do that. So it's a lot going on with the way that society is structured. And the powers that be who set up this system, they know this. So that's why they want to keep you distracted with entertainment, sports, and all these other things. They want to keep you materialistic. You know, that's why you got a lot of commercials. They sell you things. You know, 99% of the things that people think they need, they don't really need. All you need is one meal a day and 3-4 bottles of water. That's all you need.
Right.
But your wants, you know, you people confusing their wants with their needs. They want these things, so they're chasing these material items. They're chasing this car. They're chasing this house. They're chasing these clothes, this belt, jeans, whatever, shoes, anything. And all this stuff is done to entice people to want these things and to confuse them. So if you chasing, you know, trying to get these material items, you're not going to take time to be introspective and look into yourself and, you know, try to figure out things and, you know, just calm down and, like you say, just be at peace for a minute. You're not going to do that because you're going to be running around trying to get these things to impress people that you don't even like or may not even like you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the way the system is set up, people, it's designed like this. It's designed to confuse people and to have people running around and keep people in fear. That's all the news is. The news is just fear and selling you stuff during the commercials. You know, they start off with the robberies and the killings, what's going on, this and that. You know what I'm saying? It's just all these things, and it's done on purpose. So I just say if we switch the way society is structured, most people would act in accordance. Not everyone, but most people would act in accordance, but then that wouldn't be beneficial to the system. You see, that wouldn't be beneficial to the system. If everybody was just like, look, I'm going to just go with the bare minimum. I don't need all this other stuff. I'm going to just go with the bare minimum, provide for my family. Then that shuts down, you know, a lot of consumerism. You see, you're not at the store buying stuff every weekend or every holiday. You're not at the store shopping. So we about to wrap it up. I wish I could have continued that bill. But, again, Collective Minds Radio, join us next week. We will have a good, possible video with a great show for y'all next week. This is Brother Kevin, Mufasa Rock, and Ride the Star, and we are Collective Minds.
Peace.
Peace.
You niggas not real. well, don't debate. Don't debate. And I ain't never been no goofy. Is you crazy?
Is you crazy?
I pull up in that coupe, who wanna race?
Who wanna race?
And all my jury real, don't debate.
Don't debate.
I rock the biggest pump, don't debate.
Don't debate.
And all my legends jump, don't debate.
Don't debate.
And I ain't never